Should we pray? Father, we bless you and thank you that we are creatures of fulfillment. You have designed us to realize the fulfillment potential that you have bequeathed to us in the spirit and life of Jesus Christ. You have given us, O God, his fullness, so that we will realize all things through his fullness, Lord, being manifested in us. His fullness bringing salvation into us. His fullness bringing transformation and change within us. His fullness bringing forth, O God, the reality of us becoming a new creation. As you fashion us and form us in his substance and his witness, we want to thank you for your plans and your purposes. We thank you, O God, that your prophetic potentials towards us, O God, are immense. They are limitless. And we are called to receive and to realize all things by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. And we are called, O God, to give expression to what we receive and realize in all that we say and do in thought, in word, and in deed. So that we will be a blessing in every situation and circumstance that you lead us into, Father. Teach us and cause us to be a blessing. Cause us to be a blessing in the workplace where we are all placed, Father. May we be a people who are a blessing to the nation in which we are placed in, Father, to the people who are in contact with us each and every day. May we demonstrate, O God, the awesome wonder of Jesus Christ manifested within us, Lord. We pray that his fullness manifested in us will truly be transmitted in everything that we say and do. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. We are on the subject of our prophetic potentials. And today I want to talk about this word fulfillment in a greater clarity so that you will understand how you can get into this fulfillment potential in your personal life. All right? Luke chapter 22 first. We will turn to our communion passage, which is in verse 16. Luke 22 verse 16, "For I say to you, I shall never again eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Fulfillment unveils in the kingdom of God. Where is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is within us. The kingdom of God is amongst us. Where do you find that? You find that in Luke chapter 17. Just turn a couple of pages behind. Luke chapter 17 from verse 20 to 21. "Now having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed.'" That means it is not of the flesh, it is not of the natural. "Nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is,' for behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst," or "within you." If you have a King James Bible, it is written "within you." So the kingdom of God is within us, and the kingdom of God is amongst us. And the kingdom of God has the intent of making each one of us creatures of fulfillment. So that's what Jesus Christ is saying in Luke 22 verse 16. It is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. You are born again so that you can see the kingdom of God, John 3:3. Unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And then in John chapter 3 verse 5 he says, "Unless you are born of water and the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God." So entry into the kingdom of God is based on water and the Spirit. Water is the Rhema word. Water is the Rhema word. That Rhema word must be a living witness inside of you. Amen. If you listen to the word of God, it will become a well of living water inside of you, springing up to eternal life. If you function by the Holy Spirit, that well of living water has the potential of releasing through you rivers of living water. Are you with me? That is the reality of the kingdom. And every one of us has this reality of the kingdom available to us. Provided, of course, that you are born again. If you are not born again, this reality doesn't exist for you. Because it cannot be generated in the flesh. It has to be something of the Spirit. So if you are assuming that you are alive by the Spirit, and you are alive to the witness of the Rhema of God. You have wells of living water through which the witness of the rivers of living water that God has designed you to manifest will flow out of you. This is your prophetic potential in functional terms. In functional terms. To make this water, these wells of living water flow out of you as rivers of living water. That is a key word that you need to understand. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 20. Verse 5. A plan in the heart of a man is like deep water. So you can imagine the river of life is flowing from God. And God is telling you that as the word of God is manifested inside of you, the word of God becomes a well of living water. So if you can understand here that what God is telling you is that wells of living water are meant to draw from the rivers of living water. To draw from the rivers of living water, it says here, but a man of understanding draws it out. But a man of understanding draws it out. So for you to understand for this reality of the kingdom that flows in a river of life, that flows then into you through wells of living water, which enable you to live and flow out of you as rivers of living water, the key word to enable this whole process to go through is understanding. And it's understanding based on the word of God, not understanding based on emotional experiences. Not understanding based on emotional experiences. But understanding based on the word of God. Understanding. What is understanding? Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10. Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10 says that understanding is knowing the Holy One. So the understanding of the word of God is always based on knowing Jesus Christ, who is the Holy One. It is that intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is that understanding that He is the Son who has been given to you in order to enable you and me to become sons of God, whether we are male or female. He is what we need to come into communion with. In knowing Him, we will understand things as God wants us to understand. The Word. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Revelation chapter 19 verse 10. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus that enables you to actually know Jesus in an intimacy and in a conviction and in a confidence in your heart. Right? That testimony of Jesus is the basis of the prophetic potential in your life. It is entirely based on Jesus Christ. It is not based on whether you tingle or whether you feel good. Are you with me? It's based on that intimacy with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that intimacy is inside of you as a living witness. So the kingdom of God is in you. And it's meant to be functional through you. As we come together as living members of the body of Christ, as we are united by the Spirit of God, the potentials that we all have is tremendous. But that potential is entirely configured in Jesus Christ. It is not configured in how anointed you and I are. It is not configured based on your calling. It is not configured based on the gift mix that you carry. It is entirely configured in the position Jesus Christ occupies in your heart. Please understand that and remember that. All right? So the kingdom of God is the spiritual framework in which you have prophetic potential. We all want to have potentials in our life. But that potential only exists if you are in the kingdom of God. To be in the kingdom of God, you must be born again. To be enabled to function in the kingdom of God, you must have a witness of the word inside of you. And it's the Rhema word. And you must be alive to that Rhema word by the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit functions in you, He will always function in you in the name of Jesus. If there is a spirit that is just teaching you to just function in principles, that ain't the Holy Spirit. That is some other kind of spirit. Because Jesus said, when He, the Spirit, comes, He will lead you into all truth. He will glorify me. John 16, verse 13 and 14. He will glorify me. He will take of mine and He will disclose it to you. Key. That is the entire basis of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. He will take of mine and He will give it to you. Jesus Christ is the Word. He is not mere experience. Yes, it is good for us to experience the presence of the Lord, and it reinforces our faith that God is present and the Lord is real. But reality is not based on mere experience. Reality has to be defined. For this chair to be able to work in its intended function, it has to be defined. It has to be designed. So whether it is pictorially designed, which is in terms of a drawing, or whether it's described in terms of its functions, it has to be defined in order for it to be able to operate as a chair. If you designed a chair and said it is now a bed, it will never work. Do you understand what I'm saying? You may want to sleep, but the chair is not the place where you go to sleep. You will not sleep in a chair, or if you sleep in a chair, you are not going to have a very comfortable sleep. In the same token, unless God defines something through the word inside of you specifically, you are never going to find the right mode of function before God. Okay? All right. Let's turn to Luke chapter 22, verse 37. I'm reading from the New American Standard. And verse 37 has a line at the last, which comes out brilliantly in the New American Standard. And I want to read this. For that which refers to me has its fulfillment. The person who is speaking is Jesus Christ. And he says this, you don't have to figure it out, but this is it. That which refers to me has its fulfillment. That which refers to me has its fulfillment. No matter who you are, no matter where you have come from, no matter what kind of background you are, if you understand something in Jesus Christ, you have immediately brought yourself into a position of having the potential of fulfillment in your life. Are you understanding that? That which refers to me, which is why in this place we always preach the Word of God on the basis of the testimony of Jesus. The reason why we do that is so that you will always, in the name of Jesus, actualize God's intent of being to you a God who enables you to realize fulfillment. There is no meaning to life if there is no fulfillment. And in Jesus Christ, God wants to manifest in each one of our lives a fulfillment that will stretch in eternity, giving us purpose and giving us a life that will enable us to always know that we are a fruitful people, that we are a blessing in God's created universe. Amen? So the picture of you having access to the river of life and you being able to release that river of life through you as many waters, as abundant waters, as rivers of life. It's an amazing picture of what the Lord is talking about. And He's talking about you. And it's not based on how many hours you pray. It's based on who Jesus Christ is to you. Are you listening? So often we think that because we do this, we do this, we do this, and we do this, therefore we are justified before God. If you think like that, you have no position before God. But if you receive and realize anything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have a position in the before the Father in the name of Jesus at the speed of thought. So anything that refers to me has its fulfillment. Amen? Isn't that good news? In the world system, you have to work so hard to realize something. And when you realize it, then you also realize that you can't keep it either. It is only there for a short time, isn't it? And as you get older, you begin to realize, was my life an entire waste of time? But in God, it's not a waste of time. Because that which refers to Jesus Christ has its fulfillment. Always remember this. Whatever it is that you want to see and actualize in your life, it must be tied to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He must become your beloved. He must become your Lord and your Master. The person who is going to enable all that to come inside of you is the person of the Holy Spirit. So if you are functioning by the Holy Spirit in the right way, Jesus Christ will always increasingly become your Lord, your Master, and your Beloved. To understand is to know the Holy One. That knowing of the Holy One is an intimacy. That's why you need to understand Him as your Beloved, because that is the ultimate purpose for which Jesus has been given to you and me. That is the ultimate purpose of the cross. To bring forth a marriage covenant with a people drawn to God through the Lamb. A people who are going to be one flesh with Him. Now, how we are going to be one flesh, it's going to be two hearts knitted as one. That is entirely the work of the Holy Spirit. You can't figure it out intellectually. But you need to understand spiritually that such a reality exists, and such a reality is what God is trying to work into your life. Amen? Whether you're a young girl or whether you're an old man, it doesn't really matter. What you need to understand is what God has given you in Jesus Christ. Amen? Praise the Lord. So remember this, for that which refers to me has its fulfillment. So every day you read the scriptures. If you don't understand the scriptures through the testimony of Jesus, you have not understood the scriptures. You have to learn how to take passages in the Old Testament and see them in the context of the testimony of Jesus. Until and unless you see something in the context of the testimony of Jesus, it has no fulfillment potential in your life. If you read the Old Testament by law, you will have no life in it. It will just shut you up under the law. And all you will be is a miserable creature, because all you will find as you keep on reading the scriptures is what a rotten fellow you and I are. That's not what God wants you to understand. God wants you to understand that you have many flaws and I have many flaws. But God wants you to understand that there is a finished work in the cross that has been brought into your life. And God is now in the process of transforming and changing you on the basis of grace and mercy, on the basis of the willingness to forgive you, and on the basis of the willingness to work in your life and my life. Are you with me? And God is at work in your life and my life to make us a prophetic people, make us creatures of fulfillment, so that through each one of us, the universe that He has created, and look at the vastness of the universe He has created, is going to be blessed through you and me. Isn't that amazing? Are you with me? Amen. So this is very important. That's why in everything we teach here, if I take a passage from the Old Testament, I will always relate it to the testimony of Jesus. Because unless it is related to the testimony of Jesus, it has got no life. It has not been brought to life. So if you take out the New Testament and just read the Old Testament, it has got lots of promises, but it goes nowhere. Until you bring Jesus into it, and then it explodes. And that's when you understand that the 2/3 of the Bible, which was written 500 and compiled 500 years before Jesus came on the earth, is illumined entirely by Him. That's why this is the Word of God. Because no one can write such a book. That's why this is entirely the Word of God. That's why if you don't read it and understand it, you're a fool. How else can you describe someone who has been given the immensity of the prophetic potentials that we are talking about and refuses to read it? You must be a fool. We are so busy working that we've got no time to make for the Word of God. That is stupid. That is entirely and utterly stupid. Because you can go to your office and work and work and work. Brother, they're going to retire you at 55 or 60. After that, what are you going to do? Give you a gold watch and give you a pension if you're lucky. Then what happens? Yeah? So if you want to have something that pays dividends in eternity, it is in the Word of God, and that Word of God must be understood in the testimony of Jesus. This is why. Turn with me to Luke 24. Luke 24, verse 27. Luke chapter 24, verse 27. And beginning with Moses and with all the prophets... Notice the word, with all the prophets. He explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. At this point, there was no New Testament. Beginning with Moses and with all the prophets, he explained to them the things concerning himself. So he's literally saying that these 2/3 of the Bible, okay, the scriptures that stood as the Old Testament were entirely about him. The history of Israel was all about the coming of the Messiah. It was all tailored to bring the Messiah. All the promises that were given, whether to Adam, whether they were given to Moses, whether they were given to Noah, whether they were given to David, all of them had no basis of fulfillment until and unless Jesus Christ came. Do you understand that? So if you read the Old Testament, you have to read the Old Testament in the context of the Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, you really don't understand it. Otherwise, its prophetic potentials, its promises have got no meaning to you. Yes, Abraham was told, you are going to be the father of nations. But that whole idea of being the father of nations would never have manifested if Jesus had not come. If you read through the book of Malachi until that point, Abraham becoming the father of the nations and being a blessing to all nations was just a fable. The Jews were such a closed-up community and they were under a great spiritual bondage. They didn't know whether they were coming or they were going. They lost their promised land. They were occupied by enemies. So the promise stood. 2,000 years had gone by. And they had no meaning until Jesus Christ came. But when Jesus Christ came, within 40 years of his coming, there was already a Gentile church. The nations were brought in. The nations were beginning to be touched. Amen. And today we come from nations that had no tie to Israel at all, in the natural sense. We are here worshiping the living God. We are here alive to the promises of Abraham. We are meant to be a blessing to the nations. Each one of us has the potentials of touching nations in God's word. And the process of making us such a people has begun in our lives. We are born again. We are alive to the kingdom of God. We are alive to the righteousness of God. We are alive to what God can bring forth in our lives. We are alive to what God can do with us. We have the living presence of the living God invested inside of us. We have been given the right to know God. We have been given the right to come alive to God in such a way as to love Him. We have been given the right to realize the revelations of God. We have been given the right to actualize the many, many, many facets of the promises of God. And it's tremendous, isn't it? But do you realize that all of that is tied to the Lord Jesus Christ? Praise the Lord. Amen. So, he explained to them the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. And this is how you have to understand the scriptures. Your prophetic potential is written in the word of God. Any prophet who speaks into your life is merely confirming what is in the word of God. And if he's not confirming something in the word of God, junk his words. Junk his words. If someone prophesies into your life condemnation, junk those words. If someone prophesies in your life that you have to belong to them in order to realize the blessings and the giftings of God, junk that kind of word. It is nonsense. You belong to Jesus Christ and to Jesus Christ alone. But everything that you receive from God is based on the merits of the Lamb. Amen. Let's go on to verse 44. Now he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Listen to those words, must be fulfilled. So if we take the word, understand it in the name of Jesus, and say to the Lord, "This word is for me," Jesus is telling you, in my name it must be fulfilled. Are you with me? It must be fulfilled. There are words in the law of Moses that talk about the sacrifice of the lamb, the sin offering. The sin offering tells you that if you understand that the sin offering has been fulfilled in Jesus Christ, then you will understand that God in his righteousness will bring into fulfillment inside of you a brand new nature that will enable you to be in conformance to Christ and will set you free from every reality of sin. Are you with me? What was the sin offering? The sin offering was for unintentional sin. What is unintentional sin? The sin we commit by nature. The sin that we have inherited from our generations, from our pagan roots. How is that sin dealt with? It is dealt with in the nature and character of Jesus Christ. In the guilt offering, God is telling you that if you understand that Jesus has become for you a guilt offering, then God is saying there are breakthroughs for every form of deliberate sin that you commit. Deliberate, premeditated sin. Isn't that exciting news? Provided you take hold of the grace of God. Because in the Old Testament, the sin was expressed in a certain value. It was called the shekel of the temple or something like that. And if the sin that you had committed was valued at 100 units, then you had to have another 20 units added to it, one fifth. So if you committed a deliberate sin worth 100 units, you would have to bring a sacrifice of a lamb valued at 120 units. What was God transmitting to you? That 20 units represents one-fifth of the value. That one-fifth is the measure of grace that you need to actualize from the Lord. Are you listening? And he says, you can only break out of deliberate sin if you actualize the grace of God. Are you with me? John 1:16, my favorite verse in the Bible. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth were realized, right? That realization God has to bring into you. That realization is a manifestation of his grace and his mercy. I'm able to change you. I'm able to transform you. How will he change us and transform us? By bringing into us the character and nature of Jesus. As we put on Christ, we will realize the breakthroughs. How will the breakthroughs come? In the change that comes into our being. When you were born again, weren't you changed? If you were not changed, in some extent and in some measure, then it means you were not born again. Being born again is not a consequence of simply repeating a sinner's prayer. Being born again is when you realize that God has actually touched you. When the seed of Christ is planted inside of you, it brings inside of you change, fundamental change. You have a desire for God. I think all of you have a desire for God, otherwise you won't be here. That desire for God is a God-given gift. It's a manifestation of his grace. Because we were not born with a desire for God. Because of the sin nature of our generations. So you see, your freedom from deliberate sin is through the grace that you realize from the Lord Jesus Christ. What is the constituents? What are the constituents of this grace? 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 14. And the grace of our Lord was more than abundant with the faith and love which are found in Christ Jesus. So what makes up grace? The faith and love that are found in Jesus Christ. Why is it that grace gives you breakthroughs from your deliberate transgressions? Simply because you realize and actualize from Jesus Christ his faith and his love. Do you understand that? Amen. And you need to pray and ask for the grace that is made up of the faith and love of Jesus so that you can change. If you can pray in tongues, you can energize that prayer request. You speak it in English and then you energize it in tongues. And by the Holy Spirit, you can energize the faith and love of Jesus for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. So this is what the Lord is talking about. In the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms, Jesus Christ has to be communicated so that you will realize the fulfillment. Let's go back to Luke 24, verse 44. Now he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled, right? Must be fulfilled. Don't let the devil tell you that because you are a weak person, that you are not entitled to the blessings of God. Never, never, never listen to words like that. Never, never, never listen to words like that. That is the accuser accusing you. You are not justified by what you do. You are justified by the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your heart. That's all. If He is Lord in your life and you recognize Him as Lord in your life and you cling to Him as Lord in your life, you are justified. You are justified in the atoning power of the blood of the Lamb. He has covered you while He works with you. We are a work in process. Salvation is a work in process. Atonement says that God has covered us with the atoning blood of the Lamb while He works with us the many, many, many weaknesses that we all have. You have them, I have them too. The Christian message is a message of grace that unveils the righteousness of God, what God can do with you. Fulfillment is a God thing. It is not a man thing. Man conjures up the reality of fulfillment. It is unsustainable. When God manifests fulfillment, He is talking about forever. When God brings change and transformation in your life, He is talking forever. He's talking about you becoming a new creation. He's talking about you becoming someone you have never dreamt of being. Amen? Must be fulfilled. But for it to be fulfilled, Jesus has to be at the center of the Word. He is the Word. Always, when you read a passage of Scripture, always understand, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Yes, you are fearfully and wonderfully made only if you are conformed to Christ. Bring it to the New Testament. Don't just read it in isolation. Yes, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. But in the context of the totality of Scripture, you are only fearfully and wonderfully made if Christ is formed in you. So pray, Holy Spirit, in spite of myself, let Christ be formed in me. Cause me to walk in the witness and testimony of Jesus. Cause me to be conformed to Christ Jesus. Work the Spirit of Christ into me. Work the life of Christ Jesus into me. Enable me to stand in and by and through the name of Jesus. Oh God, nothing is impossible with you. Amen. All right, let's look at the next verse. Then He opened their minds to understand the Scriptures. This is the understanding of the Scriptures that you must have. Then He opened their minds to the understanding of Scripture. So what is the understanding of the Scripture? The understanding of the Scripture only comes through the testimony of Jesus. If you just read the life of Moses in the context of its history, all it is telling you is a story in history. The reality of his life is locked in history. But if you see how God used him and you understand how God used him and you realize that in Jesus Christ, God means to do something even greater in your life, then the life of Moses has got meaning to you. But it only has meaning to you through the life of Jesus. It has only got meaning to you through what you receive from Jesus Christ. Otherwise, it is just locked into the pages of time. Otherwise, it has got no meaning to us. Same goes for Joseph. Same goes for Daniel. Same goes for David. Same goes for Solomon. Yes, Solomon made a mess of his life, but God gave him an amazing wisdom. But to understand that that wisdom has been bequeathed to you in the mind of Christ. A far superior wisdom to anything that Solomon had. Amen. You read in the book of the law, Right? Deuteronomy chapter 28. You are meant to be the head and not the tail. You are meant to be above and not beneath. Yes, that is the word of God. But it can only come to life in you through Jesus Christ. Provided Jesus Christ becomes the head in your heart. Otherwise, that verse is just locked in the pages of time. God spoke it. Yes, it is the word of God. But it cannot come to life except in and by and through the testimony of Jesus. Do you understand? That's what we are trying to say here. So your prophetic potentials are entirely, 100%, absolutely and totally tied to Jesus Christ. Never forget that. It is not tied to the anointing. It is not tied to the gifting. It is not tied to the office. All that derives from Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, you have the anointing of Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, you have giftings that Jesus Christ has given to us by the Spirit. In Jesus Christ, there is a position that God has given you. He's given you a position as a son unto him. He's given you a position as a priest unto him. He's given you a position so that you will one day actually function as the oracles of God, a prophetic people. But all that only exists in Jesus Christ. If Jesus was not there, you don't have any of those rights. No matter how much you pray, no matter how many days or years you fast. So when you fast and pray, if you're not fasting and praying in the testimony of Jesus, your fasting and praying is a waste of time. Because all you're doing is manifesting your righteousness. And your righteousness, it has already been written in the prophets, are filthy rags. It's already written. That's why verses like that are there in the prophets. To understand why your righteousness is filthy rags when the law demands that you try your best. You can only understand it in the context of the New Testament when you see Jesus. In the context of what God has given you in Jesus Christ. In the context of His righteousness manifested to you in Jesus Christ. God is saying your attempts at being a good man are actually like filthy rags. So He took John the Baptist and He said, "This is the best among the sons of men." Right? Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. And then He said, the least in the kingdom of heaven will be greater than him. What's the difference? The difference is the righteousness of God. Because John was manifested in the righteousness of the law. It was not that Jesus Christ was belittling John. He was not. He's just telling you the difference. Today John stands in the heavenly places in the righteousness of God. Today, you and I stand in the heavenly places. You stand, spiritually speaking, in the heavenly places. You are seated with Christ in the heavenly places, far above every principality, power, might, and dominion. That position is given to you in Jesus Christ. It has been given to you. And you have to realize that position. The Holy Spirit has been given to you so that you will realize that position. In the spirit and life of Jesus, in the character and nature of Jesus, in the faith and love of Jesus. In Jesus Christ, nothing is impossible. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. It is written. It is written and it's sealed in the blood of the Lamb. Today, one of the biggest tragedies in the Christian church is that we talk about the anointing in isolation of Jesus Christ. We talk about moving in the Holy Spirit in isolation from Jesus Christ. And that's why we can be duped. Because God is always a triune reality. If you function by the Spirit in Jesus' name, you stand before the Father. And that consciousness of being alive to the Father is always there. It is built into you, or built inside of you. Like Jesus saying before He raised up Lazarus, "Father, I know that You hear me always." How does He know that? He knows that. That is what it means to be led by the Holy Spirit. If you are led by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus, you always know where you stand before the Father. God took Abraham out and he said, in the age of 99, Genesis chapter 17, he said, walk before me and be blameless. Today we stand before the Father on the basis of being able to walk by the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus. And automatically we stand before the Father at the speed of thought. At the speed of thought on a conscious basis, on a subconscious basis, on an unconscious basis. It is built into you. It is hardwired into you. It is hardwired into you in the spirit and life of Jesus. It is hardwired into you in the faith and love of Jesus. It is hardwired into you on the basis of the grace that God has given you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So you are a creature of fulfillment. You are a creature of fulfillment entirely because of Jesus Christ. You have a destiny in eternity entirely because of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is indwelling you entirely because of Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. So when you understand the scriptures, every one of you should understand the scriptures in the testimony of Jesus. If you do not understand the scriptures in the testimony of Jesus, there is no fulfillment in the scriptures. Hello? Jesus. Jesus has been given to us so that the scriptures can be brought to fulfillment. I am the Word. He is the Word of God. And that Word can only find fulfillment in your life in Jesus Christ. So when you read the Word of God, you've got to understand it in the name of Jesus. You read in the Psalms, cease striving and know that I am God. You can only know that God is God through Jesus Christ, because Jesus functioned every day on the basis that God was his life. So Jesus Christ made statements that we can't conceive in our minds. He said things like, I can do nothing of myself except that which I see my Father doing. What is he saying? I can't do anything unless God is in it. So he had that kind of a picture of God in his heart. That's how he lived and he functioned. He told the Jews, it is my Father who bears witness with me. Right? I am not in this alone, because my Father bears witness with me. What is he saying? I have the witness of God alive to me. That's why I am able to do these works. So cease striving and know that I am God. You will only cease striving when you actually know God. And you can only know God if God is revealed to you in Jesus Christ. So in John 17 verse 6, as he goes to the cross, Jesus prays, Father, forgive... Father, I manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. I manifested thy name. That manifestation of the name of God is how you come to know God. That's why you know that God is your Father. That's why there is a spirit of adoption alive inside of you. Amen. It came to you through the Spirit of Christ. That Spirit of Christ is the spirit of adoption.